Everybody back up! Get out of the way! He's gonna jack!
Goodness gracious!
God, he's mortal!
What just happened?
Never gonna give, never gonna give!
This week on The Big Show, Halifax Fudge Badger, Crouching Eskimo, and the Sticky Flapjack. The end of Battlestar Galactica, Tom Baudet makes the internet uncool, and Jason doesn't have any friends. Let's do this thing.
Somebody making soup?
This is Superfan Rob from the UK, and you're listening to a Prime Big Show on the Delta Park Project.
This episode of The Big Show is brought to you by Admiral Adama's Cabin and made possible by these Delta Park Prime subscribers: Jessica W. in Wisconsin, Mark M. in New York, and Brian A. in Alabama. Thanks for your support.
Hey everybody, it's episode 166 of The Big Show for March 27th.
27, dude.
That really screwed me up. I'm Jason.
And I'm Anna.
And it's Friday evening, and there's no Battlestar Galactica on tonight, so we don't have anything to do except record a show.
Yeah, and pet the white cat.
Oh, yeah, the white cat.
The white cat is hanging around tonight, y'all, so if you hear something, it's her.
She's starting to get dirty again. She was out rolling around in the dirt and the oil and the grease and the guts and stuff out that we have in our driveway. And
the guts. Just, we put the guts out there.
Just gross.
I know. She doesn't clean herself.
No.
So she's all greasy to the touch. And she really wants you to pet her.
Ugh. Let's get into pop culture news you need to know. Battlestar Galactica, Anna.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over. What did you think of the finale? What did you think? Are you satisfied? Did it wrap everything up for you? Did you get all glowy feely?
It did enough, but it did in a sort of an unremarkable way, I think. But I don't know. I wasn't expecting anything, but I was. At the end, I was like, oh, okay. And I felt like it was all tied up with a nice little bow. And, you know, I kept thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm going to miss this show so much. And, you know, the way they wrapped it up, and I was like, okay, it's over. I guess right. I was kind of, like, okay with it. I don't know. But how were you with it overall?
I thought it was too long. I listened to the podcast today, Ron Moore's podcast, and they initially wrote it as a 2-hour, expanded into 3 hours, and that's why the first hour was kind of weird, because it was really supposed to be all just like a 2-hour block that you watched. But a lot of the flashbacks, originally I thought that they were okay, but then I got to thinking that there was, especially in the second part, they just got so long and just kept going on. And, like, I mean, I realized for Rosalind, that was the whole reason for all that flashbacks was to show why she ended up on Galactica, right? Mm-hmm. Why she got into Adar's thing. But it was like, was it like 15 minutes of flashback? Or I don't know. It just seemed like it was so much. And then, but overall, I was pretty happy with it. I thought that the final battle was pretty exciting, you know, ramming the Galactica into the colony,
right,
getting all the guns shooting at them, and, you know, the only
like
place
the
they could go in.
Fighting
and,
each other.
Yeah, and then having Sam be like the ultimate hybrid so he could shut down the other hybrids.
Yeah.
I thought all that was cool. I thought that the fighting inside of the ship was pretty neat, and Boomer getting shot by Athena was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And
I know Boomer, you know, trying to redeem herself, and I was like, shoot her.
Shoot her.
She did, and I was very happy for that.
And then, you know, the climax in the opera house was okay.
That wasn't climax. Because they got her, and then they got her.
I know. Well, I mean, it was the climax, I guess, has been building since day one, because we've always wondered, what is the opera house scene, mm-hmm. right? And that's the reality that they've been having, and we finally figured out what that was. The fact that it was Baltar that sort of was the pushover kind of wasn't very cool, you know? but you know, he and Six were supposed to be the father and mother of humanity or whatever, right, the hell. And so that's fine. And then when the five final five were going to give them the resurrection, and I did really like when he found out about Callie Chief, getting killed,
yeah.
Chief Turl.
Pulled his hand up, strangled. What's her name?
Tori. Yeah, Tori. Because it's really, you know, like in the past life, they were like passionate lovers themselves. But then that was the other tipping point that pushed it in the other direction, you know, going toward humanity, because no longer were they going to get resurrection. It caused all the kerfuffle in the CIC. Cavill shot himself in the head, which didn't seem... originally, it was written that Ty was going to throw him off the top, which I thought was cooler.
Yeah.
But Dean Stock was like, you know, I kind of like to shoot myself in the head. And Ron Moore's like, okay. So he shot himself in the head. Then the nukes just sort of happened. I mean, it was all about chance and fate and destiny, you know? So Starbuck happens to type in the code. The nukes happen to get flipped and shot at the ship. And, it, you know, it was all just like this orchestrated destiny, you know, with Starbuck. And I guess if that's how it was supposed to be, then that's fine. It was just a little bit too perfect, I guess.
Well, yeah, it was.
But I liked it. I'm not saying I didn't like it. I'm just saying that it was sort of... So complicated, contrived, maybe.
I was kind of surprised that, like, everyone survived. Well, except Rosalyn, but we knew she was going to die.
Right.
But everyone survived.
In the original idea, Hilo and Athena were going to give themselves, were going to die. They're going to sacrifice themselves to save Hera. Mm. But that didn't end up happening either.
Yeah.
So then, Starbuck. What is Starbuck? The writers had many ideas for what Starbuck should be, but every time they actually wrote it down on paper, it lessened it. It made it just seem to not as big as it was, mm-hmm. you know? So they just had her disappear. And if you look right on the ground by Lee's feet, there's a big hole. A lot of people were looking, you know, off in the distance, but there's a giant hole there. She just stepped into a hole. She's clumsy.
But it knocked her out, and he's all looking around and...
Kara? Oh, I guess she was an angel. So, I don't know. So, for me, that Kara at that point, and also the heads, or the six and the Baltar that are in six and Baltar's heads, they were more of a representation of God, I guess, and how this whole series had such a really strong religious overtone that didn't really strike a chord with me. But I guess it was there. You know, Baltar was very religious toward the end, and Rosalind was religious through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of makes sense that religion played a big part in that. And if she was an angel and she could come back and be there for as long as she needed to be there, that was fine.
And we are very likely the descendants of Cylons.
Right.
Also, Japan is trying to kill us. Those are the two things robots. I got out of the show.
Yeah, so Starbuck, her destiny was to... guide them to go and die, and then guide them to the first Earth, and then guide them to the second Earth, the final Earth.
They were like, wrong Earth, Starbuck.
Wrong Earth. I still don't know why she was the harbinger of death. I guess maybe harbinger of death for the Cylons. Yeah.
She doesn't have to be harbinger of death for everyone.
And then
it was the Cylon who told her.
And then finally they decide to give up all technology. I guess there was a scene that they had planned of them blowing up the raptors, exploding them, sort of getting rid of all their technology. But it was going to be in the background of the Lee and Starbuck scene on Earth, and they thought it was kind of confusing or weird, so they got rid of that.
Yeah, if it's just blowing up and they're talking, are they being attacked? What's going on?
Yeah, but that helped me understand that, okay, they got rid of it. I'm like, well, you know, Adama had his
Jason says,
raptor.
Yeah, they took something. I'm like, no, they didn't. They got rid of it, Jason. They just didn't show you.
I guess.
Jeez.
So it was a satisfying ending, but I just, it felt kind of lukewarm to me. And it wasn't like, yes, you know.
It was lukewarm, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. But now we've got The Plan coming out this fall in Caprica on April 21st.
Tell everybody what The Plan is.
So The Plan is, let's play the trailer for it, and maybe it'll explain it.
No, it won't.
Kind of. Well, is it? Yeah.
The Cylons were created by man. They rebelled.
evolved. They look and feel human. Some are programmed to think they are human. There are many copies. And they have a plan.
I guess we already knew that.
I was just going to let you discover what I already knew, which was...
Why don't you go ahead and explain what it is?
Audio-wise, that wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
So the plan is a two-hour movie this fall, and it's apparently Battlestar. Well, not the whole thing.
No, it's...
But something
it's
from
the plan part.
Point of view.
We right. always heard they had a plan.
Right.
Never really saw what it was from their side.
It must have been before the whole Civil War and all that stuff. So
yeah, I guess
the the beginning.
So that's what we're going to see. And then Caprica, which... It was funny because Ron Moore, again, going back, if you're really interested, go back and listen to the podcast over at Battlestar Galactica Sci-Fi, www.com. Caprica was filming at the same time the finale was filming, and they were like in different sound stages in Vancouver. So he could see the end of one of his shows and the beginning of one of his shows. Like, he had a headset on and he could flip between the mics in the two shows and listen to what was going on.
Weird.
So Caprica actually starts next year, but the pilot is done and they're going to be selling it as a DVD and also digitally on Unbox for like $14-$20. And yeah, so I guess they want to strike while the iron is hot.
But it's different. It's not about Cylons, is it?
Well, Caprica is about the beginning of the Cylons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like...
It has, what's his name? Eric, guy from
Stoltz.
Some kind of Wonderful. Yeah,
Stoltz. Yeah, so...
Yeah, I just
so his daughter,
myself.
His daughter dies, mm-hmm. but he makes a...
And some other girls, too.
Yes, but he has a copy of her essence digitally, so then he puts that into a...
toaster?
Cylon, yeah. And that's the beginning of the... Robots, I guess.
Right, that look like humans or think they're humans.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you going to watch it?
Yeah. I've already told Amazon to shoot it to Artivo when it's ready.
Cool.
And now for something completely different. Better Off Ted.
We had to pause it, I think, 3 or 4 times in the first 3 minutes so we could laugh at the second episode.
I'm starting to think, though, it's an acquired taste because some people are in the same camp as us and think it is absolutely hilarious. Some people don't get it.
Oh, that's shocking.
Can you believe that?
You know why some people don't get sarcasm?
Maybe.
And that show is chock full of
it's sarcasm. Very sarcastic, very dry.
Oh, yeah.
But it is, oh my God,
well, there's
it's
no
funny.
Laugh track telling them when to laugh.
That's true. I loved it. It's my new favorite comedy on television.
I want to watch this episode again. And there was the one line that I could not get past, and it was probably because, you know, I'm just tired, and it's nighttime, whatever.
A little doopy.
But Ted walks into Portia de Rossi's office,
Veronica, yeah.
And says, we've created a monster in the lab, and he's talking about one of the scientists, you know, going rogue, uh-huh. And she says, it's not a monster, it's a cyborg that shoots without... What?
That kills without remorse.
That kills without remorse. And I could not get past it. I just...
She's so funny because she's so straight with her answers. And right. She thinks sometimes she has a sense of humor and she doesn't. Yep. So the whole thing is... we didn't really set it up, but it's... first of all, it's right before Lost. So you should be watching that channel anyway. But it's ABC 830, Better Off Ted. And the company is called Viridian Dynamics, and they make anything.
Right. It's scary. They have no morals.
No morals.
Zero morals.
And so this week they were making, they're always working on different things. So they're making food, or they needed a food product, and they needed it by the end of the week.
Because the macaroni and cheese they made makes you go blind after you eat it twice.
Yes. And as long as you can heat it forever, but it never warms up. And then he goes, are you sure it's food? She goes, well, we've already designed the box. So they make this meat that doesn't need a cow, so they build it and go in the lab, and they've got this taste test guy, and of course he's back from the mac and cheese, although he cannot see the color green anymore, but he can see again. So he's eating it and he's like, oh, is it beef? No. Is it chicken? No. What's it taste like? Despair. So, just, I don't know, it's just so funny. And they for the last two ones they've had a little like a corporate video at the beginning talking about what Viridian Dynamics is. And and this time, we'll make anything. Tomatoes the size of babies. Fish that are lemon
tastes
flavored.
Like lemon. Yeah,
I don't know. We're not making it sound as nearly as funny as it is because
it's like
it's
somebody
all out of context,
retelling you a whole episode and you're like,
you guys.
Oh, you just ruined the whole thing for me. Thanks.
But then the other thing is Phil, who's one of the scientists, volunteered to get frozen for a year, and he only ended up being frozen for like 3 days before they accidentally unplugged him. And now he like randomly screams and opens his mouth and it just comes out at the wrong times. And it's so funny. So I hope you're watching this show.
And he doesn't know what he's doing.
It's also up on, if you're in the United States, I imagine, it's up on ABC's website. You can watch the
The pilot for sure is up there.
They put all their shows up there pretty much, so.
Oh, man.
Next Tuesday, Cupid starts on ABC.
Mm-hmm.
We watched the first 10 minutes, and I like it. I think it's going to be kind of quirky. It's going to be a little bumpy to start out with, and then they're going to get into a groove, probably kind of a predictable groove. But I like the main character who plays Cupid. He's pretty. He's kind of funny. And I don't know about the girlfriend.
I actually was not fond of the Cupid actor.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. He was just kind of Bronx. I don't know what that's all about. But he, I don't know, I didn't like him that much. And then it seems really obvious to me that he and his psychologist are going to hook up. They're going to be couple number 100.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the whole, I mean, they won't hook up for forever.
Till the end.
And there'll be this tension between them until that happens. Yeah. But I mean, I think that's the premise of the show. And then we'll go within the confines of that. But
I
thought it looked interesting. I'll watch the whole thing.
I wasn't that excited about it.
I think it looks better than Castle has been.
Let's talk about Castle.
Let's talk about Castle. I liked the first episode.
I did, and you know, okay, the second episode annoyed me because the woman was still making the annoying, you know, childlike facial expressions whenever Castle annoyed her. That she has since dropped that, thank God.
Right.
However, it's not good. I want it to be better.
Here's what they're doing, Anna. They take a crime drama, you know, procedural show, and they present you with facts, and then they bring in the author who thinks, oh, this is how it would really happen. If it were in my book, this is how it would happen. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, that is much more interesting. Oh, that is kind of how it happened. But it's like always like this weird twist at the end that you don't really see coming.
Well, the third episode that we saw, Monday's episode, was like seven twists, and it was so annoying. And Castle and Beckett, the detective, are always like, oh, but what if, oh yeah, and so they're going back and forth on who done it. And
yeah,
and I just got really annoyed and fast forwarded.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I know, I feel terrible because I really like the Nathan Fillion character. I'm gonna give it a little bit of time.
I am being a little bit annoyed by the Nathan
Fillion
character.
I don't know who's behind this show. That's the thing for me. It's not about, well, for this one, it's about the actor, but mostly it's about who's behind the show.
What do you mean?
Like, is it, it's not Joss Whedon vehicle. What has this person done that's created this show?
Oh,
that's
I don't know.
Because, like, Better Off Ted is from some of the producers and writers of Arrested Development.
Right.
So.
And Cupid is from Rob Thomas.
Right, from Veronica Mars.
I don't know. All I know is that I'm a little bit annoyed.
I know.
And it sort of has lost its excitement for me.
Mm-hmm,
I don't know if I'll be watching it anymore. Another new show. So it's a like new show time now. I know that
it's weird, but
the
is.
Networks are like trying this new stuff and just launching
it's all
new
just
shows whenever.
Screwy.
But NBC, they launched Kings 2 weeks ago,
uh-huh.
And then they're going to be launching Southland and Parks and Rec in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched Kings, and we talked about this a while ago when we watched the trailer, and we were like, what is this weird butterfly drama
right. That
doesn't make any sense to me? The trailer didn't make any sense, but the 2-hour premiere was actually pretty good.
I thought it was very good.
Yeah. So the whole story is, it's sort of like now time sort of stuff, except it's in a kingdom, and it doesn't have any relation to you know, it's all in a fictional land and a fictional people.
In a fictional war against another fictional country.
Right, and it's a monarchy, and God plays a strong role.
Well, God chooses the kings.
Right.
He, you know, he, the guy who's the king, tells the story about how the butterflies came up and...
made a crown on his head.
Landed in a crown on his head.
And, you know, that's how monarchies were always run, you know, that they were chosen by God, or God was,
right.
You know, they were able to talk to God.
But I think in this this show, there's no doubt that there's a God. Like,
right.
It's right. True. God did choose this king.
Yes. Yes.
And so.
Yeah, and he's protecting the new kid.
Right.
Because now the king has upset God, and God is now decided to shine his butterflies on someone else.
Right.
So the whole story is, I guess it doesn't really matter what the story is. If you're not watching it, you should give it a try. They're up on Hulu. The premiere is free on iTunes and on Amazon, so you can go and download that and get started. But it's great production value. It's really good acting. The story,
the writing's great. The dialogue's great.
Writing's good. So
I
don't know. I don't.
I like
I'm afraid
characters.
I'm going to get a little bit burned out. I thought it was. It's probably going to turn into a little bit more of a soap opera than I'm going to like coming up, because they're starting to set up these relationships, and there's already been some backstabbing, and there's probably going to be some sex, you know, and the king has a mistress and a child and a wife and another family, and so I can see it kind of going the way of Dirty Sexy Money a little bit, but it's sort of in a different genre, so
right.
Maybe that'll be okay.
How I Met Your Mother. It was funny.
It was a sneaky snowplow.
Yes, so of course, CanadianSexActs.org exists.
Yes, it does.
That was old King Clancy.
I think that we should try and read this list all the way through without laughing.
Okay.
Do we need to tell them what the show was about?
Well, they were all trying to guess... What famous Canadian
Robin slept with.
No, almost slept with.
Almost slept with. What they collected, and then what
the sex
Canadian
act that
sex
she
act
says
was.
He wanted her to do to
right.
her, but that's not actually the case.
Okay.
Okay, so old King Clancy.
The reverse Rick Moranis.
We didn't get very far.
Can't do it.
The Montreal meat pie. I don't even know what that is.
The Saskatoon totem pole.
The musty goaltender.
Sticky flapjack.
Squatting Eskimo.
Five-legged caribou.
Newfoundland lobster trap.
Manitoba milk bag.
Two-handed Zamboni.
The sneaky snowplow.
The full Mountie.
The sloppy dog sled.
The sloppy dog sled. This one's our favorite. The Halifax fudge badger.
Two girls, one Stanley Cup.
Brown icicle.
Frosty mitten job.
Montreal petting zoo.
Wet ski mask.
Edmonton soiler.
Salty prime minister.
One tusked walrus.
And the Northwest Passage.
I don't even know.
Oh, and then you go over to, of course, CanadianSexX.org, and you click on them.
And up comes a picture of
Alan Thicke
saying this website is
temporarily broken. It's funny.
It's very funny. So other than that, I don't even remember what happened in the episode, but that part was hilarious.
Yeah, well, it was Ted, he was designing the new Goliath Bank, and
oh, right.
It was all fake. And so then he finally got fired, and he was going to start his own architecture firm. But the whole rumor scandal, not really
crowd.
Scandal. Think that we may have met the mother this week.
The blonde chick in the elevator.
The chick in the elevator.
Now, why is that?
Well, the scene in the elevator was sort of out of place. You know, he was just trying to hit on her. But it didn't mean anything. You
yeah,
know, it wasn't,
that's how we found out that the bank wasn't
I know, but
built
but the scene was too long for pacing right there. You know, it was just sort of joke after joke. And, you know, anyway... Also, she's in next week's episode as well.
Hmm.
So, her name is Maya. Although, I didn't see a yellow umbrella.
But it wasn't raining.
I'm just saying, he said the first time that I saw your mother, she had a yellow umbrella.
Oh, that's true.
But maybe I know Winnie, who we were doing the Facebook thing on this. She said, well, maybe they saw each other before, but they didn't realize they saw each other before. And so then they maybe put that together. I don't know. Anyway, How I Met Your Mother. So the Mythbusters, thanks to superfan Cynthia for sending putting this link up. They decided to do a myth to see if they could really blow their socks off. And they were outside this small town in California and let off this huge bomb.
500 pounds of ammonium nitrate.
Much, much, much bigger explosion than they thought it was going to be. The fire folks thought it wouldn't be a good idea to tell the townsfolk that this was going to happen, because he was told this is a popular show, and he was afraid that people were going to go up there and try and watch, and then they'd have to shut it down. Well, this explosion, it was huge. It blew out windows downtown, knocked people off of a couch, and what is this? One resident was knocked off her couch while a teacher at one of the local schools said it felt like a house blew up. Straight up, we were scrambling to find out what was going on because we got kids on the playground. Mythbusters replaced the broken windows in the town in the same day. While some residents thought that either a house had exploded or a plane had crashed, the lady who got knocked off her couch said, it was fun, really fun. And then she said she couldn't wait to watch the show. And I thought that was funny that they...
That is very funny.
They did that. So I don't know when it's going to be on, because it just happened this week, so it probably won't be another till next season or something.
Well, I'm glad nobody got hurt.
Yeah.
Because that wouldn't be nearly as funny. They'd be in big trouble.
Yeah.
And it probably could have gone that way, too, so I'm really glad that nothing bad happened.
Yeah. Thanks, Mythbusters. I know what you're doing on April 25th.
I really don't think I am, though. Okay, so the Discovery Channel is hosting a Catch Con, which is a convention for fans of The Deadliest Catch. Yes. And it's going to be in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And why would I go up there to see these beer guzzling jerks?
Captains set to attend include Sig Hansen, Keith Colburn, Phil Harris, and Andy and Jonathan Hillstrand.
Okay,
and
I adore all of them.
Yeah. Bad news, though, Anna. Registration has already filled up for the event.
Oh.
But fans can sign up to be on the waiting list.
Well, I have a friend who works in television in Seattle, so maybe I'll just wiggle my way that in.
Wow. Anyway. Although, aren't you special?
Guess what?
Hmm.
I still don't really want to go. Hi. How you doing? Hi. Cool. That's cool. You have
but it's
a
the
cool
first
boat.
Ultimate Deadliest Catch fan experience.
I didn't realize that it was that popular that it has already filled up, or they're having it in some auditorium somewhere, and there's only 125 seats anyway.
It's in the back of the Denny's. So Motel 6 has gone leet with Tom Baudet's ads. I thought I'd play it. It was funny.
Hi, Tom Baudet. You know that feeling when you're playing Blood Match Ultra Fighter online and you hit that secret combo up, right, right, red button, left trigger and activate the flaming tornado fist? Just me? Well, that's how it feels to always get the lowest price at Motel 6. Any other hotel just got totally pwned. Sounds painful. I'm Tom Baudet, level 12 Ultra Fighter for Motel6.com, and we'll leave the light on for you.
Are those all real things?
What? The game?
Yeah.
I don't know. The reason I thought it was funny is because Tom Baudet saying they totally got pwned, which is no longer cool now because Tom Baudet said it Motel 6 ad.
Yeah.
But I thought that was funny, so I thought I would share it. I don't really have any commentary on it. Just, it happened. David Letterman has an announcement.
Now here we go. Get ready, because this is something you're going to tell your kids about. On Saturday, March 21st, 2009, on Parrot Cay in the Turks and Caicos Islands, Bruce Willis was married to British model Emma Hemming with an M. They've been dating for just over a year, and they plan to have a civil ceremony when they return to California. So congratulations, and we couldn't be happier for Bruce. Okay, that was Saturday on Parrot Cay in the Turks and Caicos Islands. Now on Thursday at 3 p.m., March 19th, 2009, at the Teton County Courthouse in Choteau, Montana, I was married to Regina Lasko. Tail of the tape on this. We, Regina and I began, all right.
It's a little bit of a surprise.
We, Regina and I began dating February of 1986.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
And I said, well, things are going pretty good. Let's just see what happens in about 10 years.
Yeah.
We have a 5.5-year-old son named Harry.
Yes. That's a good.
Justice of the Peace John L. Pete Howard performed the civil service. So there you go. That's it, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that is beautiful. Congratulations.
And then, of course, he tells the story of how he got stuck in the mud on the drive over in a truck. And he says, so we thought, oh, we'll just wait for somebody to come by. And then no one's coming by. It's Montana at 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon. No one's coming. So he had to walk back to his house. And I think it's so funny how he sounds like all curmudgeon, he can't believe he did it. And
right.
Yeah. I thought it was really funny. I can't believe he did it either.
Well, not Ken either. Congratulations, Dave. They've been dating for 21 years. I can't believe their son's that old. I remember when he was born.
What did he say? It was five?
5.5.
Yeah. Well, so they'd been dating for how many years before they had a kid? 21 was 16 years together.
Yeah.
Before they had a baby.
Pretty cool. Anna had a dream.
I did.
And you put that up on Twitter, and a lot of girls were like, ooh, sexy.
Yeah, it wasn't sexy.
Tell us what happened.
It was a really long walk, actually. Okay, so and I don't even know why Alex Rodriguez, the Yankee ball player.
The Rod.
The I think he's shortstop, was in my dream, but I dreamed that he had me follow him across Yankee Stadium, and like we walked forever, not like across the field, but around through the stadium. Mm-hmm. And there were like, there was just all this, I can't even tell you what it was we walked by. It was just a ton of stuff. Anyway, he came in to show me that a vacuum cleaner he invented.
He invented a vacuum cleaner. Yeah. What was? Did it look like a regular vacuum cleaner?
It just did, yeah.
Did he have you try it out?
No, he had me come in, and then he gave a presentation on it. And then I woke up and I went, "What the hell?"
Did it have any special attachments?
Nope.
Huh.
All right. It kind of looked like my Dyson that I own.
Oh, I bet it was the Rodriguez.
I don't know. It was really weird. But Alex Rodriguez, some reason in, I don't know.
Celebrity dreams. Thank you, Anna.
Hey, 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 let's play the Amelie game.
Hey, this is Superfan David from New York with my Amelie game. My likes, warm laundry, soft head, and fish reuniting and releasing free MP3s. My dislikes, Pushing Daisies being canceled, New York subway fare hikes, and lack of corporate morality. Love the show. Bye.
Thanks, David. P-Fish is getting back together?
Yeah, P-Fish.
That's great. That's great news.
P-Fish. Should we explain? I think we have to explain P-Fish. It's funny.
Probably. It's a funny story.
So I have two brothers who are about 6 years younger than me, and they're
hippies.
Twins.
Hippies.
Hippie twins.
Yeah.
And one of them, his name is Paul, and he really likes the band Fish. And when my dad got him a car, I think for college graduation, he also had a personalized license plate on it. My dad knew he liked the band named Fish and thought it knew
and
it
he
was
knew it was spelled weird.
He knew it was spelled weird. So the license plate is P F I S H P Fish. Luckily, Paul just totally owned it. He was like, yeah.
Peafish.
Peafish.
Thanks. So we saw a movie. We actually saw a movie when it was in the theaters. Came out the whole nine yards, and it was funny.
It was funny.
I Love You, Man, starring Jason Segel and Paul Rudd and Rashida Jones.
Right. Of course, the movie, the last comedy movie, well, movie in general that we saw before this was Zach and Mary Make a Porno.
Right.
And so we saw a promo for I Love You, Man, and or no, a review of it on CBS Sunday Morning, and, you know, David Edelstein says, oh, it's kind of dirty and gross man jokes, and I didn't find it dirty at all. And maybe that's just because my perspective is a little off, because I saw Zach and Mary before that.
Well, I watched some of the restricted stuff on the website, and they just, you know, picked out some of the gross things, like the masturbation station and the Paul Rudd puking all over John Favreau. So I thought that was going to be the whole theme of the movie.
No.
So I was that's I think the feeling I had going into it. But then we come out of it and Anna's like, "Oh, that's you."
Okay, so the movie is about this guy, Paul Rudd, who is going to get married to Rashida Jones.
And he is the perfect husband, right?
Yes.
He is every woman's dream man.
Exactly. And that's why I said, it's you.
Right.
Anyway, he's marrying Rashida Jones, and they're putting together their wedding party, and she has all these girlfriends, and she's got like six bridesmaids, and he doesn't have any guy friends.
Right.
He's always had girlfriends. He's a girlfriends guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going out with guys, basically, on dates to try and
mandates
to find a new best friend, a man.
And of course, his first one is with Thomas Lennon from Reno 911 Dangle.
Right.
And he thinks it's a real
date.
Man date.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And he, you know, hangs out with Jon Favreau, who's just a jerk. Oh my God, just a total jerk. Anyway, I thought it was funny. It had some pacing issues.
It did.
There were some scenes that I was like, wow, this could have been edited right here. And
there were some hills and valleys.
There were hills and valleys, but it was enough that it was definitely entertaining. I thought it was pretty funny.
And what was funny was I slapped
the valleys
my knee.
For me was the very end when they have their reconciling. It goes on and on and on, and I'm like,
yeah,
please. But anyway,
it was funny. So Anna doesn't think I have any friends.
Jason doesn't have any guy friends, really.
No, I mean, I have, you know, friends that are, you know, and Ash and...
Yeah, but like, you wouldn't call up any of your guy friends, except Lee. Lee is the one you went to Austin with.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, you don't really have guy friends.
Yeah.
We have couple friends.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the problem with Jason Segel's character in the movie. He used to have a lot more friends, but then his friends got married or they had kids. And so I guess that's where I am. Yeah. And then we were talking, you know, earlier that I, earlier today, that I moved schools a lot when I was a kid. And so I had to be funny, make friends, but, you know, not drink beer, evidently.
Yeah, one of my best friends.
Scam on chicks.
I've known since preschool.
Yeah. So anyway, I gave it a B+, mostly because it had some lulls, but it's funny. And Rob Hubel is in it. If you ever watch the singular ad, the cell phone guy, Karate, he's in it. He's always in all the
VH1
shows. He plays Tevin, who is a really crazy real estate agent. And,
who puts his face on urinal cakes.
Yes. Lou Ferrigno. I pulled that out of the back of my head. Smelled like a booger. He's pretty funny in it, too. He was the Incredible Hulk.
Right.
Anyway, we recommend it. Go check it out. I mean, you could probably wait for the rental, though.
You
don't have to rush right out and go see that.
No. But I honestly would give it a B.
Celebrity sightings. Sue saw Jason Segel walking down the street with his son. Samuel Lockhart saw Jonathan Coulton, who apparently had his hair straightened.
Chris Nathan saw Jermaine from Flight of the Conchords riding his bike on the Esplanade in Portland.
Rob Kidman saw a large British Eliza Dushku on the Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles. Molly Brennan saw her sister saw a woman on the bus that looks like Jonah Hill.
First time I read that, I didn't catch that it was a woman.
And Starbucks Pat, B. Arthur in the booth behind me at the Indian buffet restaurant.
Which coincidentally is next to Starbucks.
Yes, right next to it. If you have a sighting of a celebrity in the wild, real or fake, you can send a tweet to at DPPCeleb, and it'll show up on our magic page, and we'll read it on the show. 9,999 Facebook fans. Anna, guess.
197.
Yeah. Cool. We're almost to 200.
Yeah.
So we're getting there. We are getting there. And now that the pages are different, you can kind of go and post stuff on our wall and stuff over there. So go leave some stupid comments, and I'll hit the like button on it. So that'll be a lot of cool fun. You can go to deltaparkproject.com, scroll down to the project section, and there's a find us on Facebook button. I don't know how the hell this internet thing works. And you click that, and then you click the I like these guys, and then we get money or something. I don't know how it works, but check that out.
Hop, 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 happy birthday.
Amanda in Tigard, Oregon.
Mark in Reykjavik, Iceland.
Thomas in Fontana, California.
Melanie in Halifax, Canada.
Raj in Bombay, India.
Sean in Philadelphia.
And Team Edward in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Happy birthday to you, Erica.
Happy birthday, Erica. That's everything for this week. I'm Jason.
And I'm Anna.
And thanks for listening. I love you very much. Secrets out.
Thanks for listening. The Big Show is a Delta Park project produced by Morley Studios. Visit our website at deltaparkproject.com to leave us feedback, watch silly videos, and read our pop culture blog. Call and harass us toll-free at 1-888-240-9031. The happy birthday theme courtesy Perry Grip. The hometown news theme courtesy Madtown Aces. We have a cat named Clara that we call Carla, a cat named Morley that we call Money, and a daughter named Elliot that we call Water News. Love your hair.
I really did that.
Did he really get blown away like that? Mythbusters.
I can't speak.
The Mythbusters.